Well, it has been a while, hasn't it, Marquee people? Welcome, everyone, to another mini Marquee edition of the DVD Marquee. I'm Jeffrey Rosato, and hey, thanks for tuning in today. Well, actually, downloading is the term I should use, but I used to be in radio, so old habits die hard, you know? Before we get started, I want to alert you guys to a couple things. First of all, on our main page, you've probably noticed that we have a section where you can vote for our show at Podcast Alley, a site that helps programs like ours gain new listeners. And we've made it so much easier for you to cast your votes by just entering your email addy in the appropriate box, confirming it in an email message you'll get shortly thereafter, and your work is done. Easier than changing the oil in your car. And we would appreciate your support. Also, I've been hearing from a lot of you guys saying, hey, when's the next show? When's the next full-length DVD Marquee? Well, good news. My co-host and band leader for the past 26 years, Shane McDonald, is coming out of hiding, yes. And we'll have our 7th episode online this week, the week of May 16th, including reviews of The Family Stone, The Poseidon Adventure Special Edition, The Ringer, and others. So keep your eyes and ears peeled out for that via our blog or our main page. Okay, B, it's mini Marquee time now, and I am going to start out with a confession that I'm not embarrassed or ashamed to admit. Not too much. When I was about 5 years old, some 30-odd years ago, well, maybe more than 30-odd years ago, I had my first childhood crush on a girl. I know. But there were a couple of problems that prevented me from acting upon my feelings. For one, I knew there was no way my overprotective mama was going to let me pursue an older girl. Actually, this girl that I had a thing for was almost twice my age. Well, maybe three times. Four? Yeah, I think four times my age is more likely, but I better not say any more because I don't want to embarrass the woman more than I already have once she finds out who she is. Anyway, another thing that was in the way was she was miles away in New York City. Or actually Hollywood, which has that magical ability to conjure up any town within its television production sound stages, which in turn presented my biggest hurdle. She was a big-time television star, and I had plenty of boys and men in front of little old me waiting in line. For what red-blooded American male, regardless of their age, didn't have affections for that girl? In the fall of 1966, ABC introduced a brand new half-hour comedy to its Thursday night lineup, starring an unknown actress by the name of Marlo Thomas. Save for a few guest shots on some popular shows in the early 1960s, including The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis, Ben Casey, and Bonanza, along with some nice notices in theatrical plays on both the left and right coast, the 24-year-old actress was mostly known as the daughter of one of America's most beloved entertainers and humanitarians, the legendary Danny Thomas, whom many of you early sitcom junkies remember courtesy of Make Room for Daddy. Now, Marlo could have taken the easy way out and coasted on her father's reputation, but he urged her to carve out her own identity, and it was that savvy piece of advice that resulted in the creation of what would become one of television's most innovative and groundbreaking series. And it all started courtesy of a failed TV pilot called Two's Company that ABC voted thumbs down on. But executives of the Alphabet Network felt they had a star in the making with Marlo. And though it took a while to develop and convince the bigwigs that the public would accept an ambitious young woman leaving home and living on her own in the Big Apple, ABC gave the green light to the show. It premiered on September 8, 1966, and lasted for 136 episodes over 5 seasons. Now, aside from a best-of DVD collection that quickly ran out of print several years ago, longtime fans like me have been clamoring for the show's release for a long time. And Shout Factory has heard our cry with a 5-disc set that gathers all 30 episodes from Season 1. Now, before I get into the meat and potatoes of this terrific set, let's talk about the cast a little bit. First of all, Ted Bessel, wonderful actor who played and saddled upon but loving boyfriend Donald Hollinger. Now, originally, he was cast as her agent, and his name was Donald Bluesky, and he was portrayed as a Native American. Weird, but it all figures into a plot that didn't make the air, which I'll talk about more in just a few minutes. Then, there's Lou Parker, who played her sometimes overprotective but devoted father. He was a friend of Danny Thomas's from way back, and I wouldn't doubt that Danny was very instrumental in Lou getting the part. There's also Rosemary DeCamp, who was a very popular character actress in the 1940s. A lot of you may remember her from the Jimmy Cagney classic Yankee Doodle Dandy, and she always referred to herself as the actress who played everybody's mother. And you guessed it. She plays Anne's mother here and did it very effectively. She had wonderful chemistry with Lou Parker. Other regulars on the show included Bonnie Scott, who played Anne's next-door neighbor, Judy, and perhaps the most well-known supporting player to emerge from the cast is a name I know a lot of you will recognize, the fantastic Bernie Capel, who played Jerry. And right around the same time, he was doing double duty on another classic sitcom I know a lot of my baby boom generation remembers dearly, Get Smart, where he just killed us in a recurring role of Siegfried. Well, I hope it's not too long before we get Smart on DVD. Love that show. But most of you remember Bernie as the lovable doc on The Love Boat, the huge ABC Saturday night hit that ran from the late 70s to the mid 80s, featuring Mr. Capel in his best known role. Now, let me tell you about this wonderful set that Shout Factory has come up with. 30 episodes, completely uncut, and with the exception of a couple of episodes here and there, the prints represented here look like they came out of the lab yesterday. Color, beautiful. Everything from the location exteriors to Anne's impeccable fashion sense, it's just awash in vivacity. And I would have been happy enough myself with just the episodes, you know, and that's it. But hey, this is Shout Factory we're talking about here, so there's more. For starters, you've got four commentary tracks from Marlo and That Girl co-creator Bill Persky, lending their behind-the-scenes recollections to some of the best episodes from that freshman year, particularly the classic Anatomy of a Blunder, which is just not only one of the best installments of the series itself, but one of the funniest half hours in sitcom history. Now, prior to meeting her parents for the first time, Donald hesitantly accepts Anne's invitation for a picnic lunch along the way, and everything that could possibly go wrong for the guy does. I'm telling you, Bessel is so uproariously hilarious, he should have gotten an Emmy nomination for this episode alone. Other bonuses include two rare promos for the show that are a little rough quality-wise, but are nostalgia-inducing for those of us that remember these types of commercials that lasted a minute and had the feel of movie trailers. It's really cool. Let's see, what else have we got? There's the That Girl and New York featurette that showcases uncut location footage for both the opening credit sequence and many exterior shots that were dropped into various episodes. There's the never-before-aired original pilot for the show, which featured an almost entirely different supporting cast, including veteran character actor Harold Gould as Anne's father. I think Harold Gould is, or was, Elliot Gould's father, if I'm not mistaken. And although he's good in the role, he's just a little too broad and intense, so it's easy to see why he was replaced by Lou Parker, who had a much softer side underneath his gruff exterior. And like I said earlier, Ted Bessel is not the love interest, but her loyal agent in the pilot. And despite the platonic setup, you can just feel the warmth between him and Thomas. So it didn't take much arm twisting for her to convince the powers that be to make him her eventual steady. But the best of all the bonuses, in my opinion, is the near half-hour documentary That Show, That Woman, which takes us through the genesis of That Girl from concept to television history. It features extensive interview footage with Marlo, who still looks just as beautiful today as she did back then. The torch is still there, Mrs. Thomas, if it's okay with Phil, that is. Finally, in addition to the colorful packaging, there's a handy episode guide featuring liner notes from Broadway actor and That Girl historian Stephen Cole, who, by the way, wrote a terrific book about the show a few years back, and I think it's still in print. You may want to check out Amazon.com or Half.com and search around for it, because it's well worth grabbing. You know, in many historical interviews of television that I've read or witnessed on TV over the years, Mary Tyler Moore is often cited as the big innovator in the category of independent women making it on their own in the big town. But as you'll see in this set, it was actually Marlo Thomas that laid down the foundation for the likes of Mary Richards, Murphy Brown, and Allie McBeal. At one point during the That Girl documentary, an on-screen graphic features a quote from Thomas saying that the show wasn't meant to be a constant laugh fest, but I think she's being way too modest. That Girl still holds up extremely well and is consistently hilarious, with a lot of the credit going to the interplay between Thomas and Bessel. It's very reminiscent of those classic screwball comedies from the 1940s and 50s, and the chemistry between those two is just wonderful, and it keeps on getting better episode by episode. To summarize, That Girl Season 1 is a set that will dazzle both newcomers and longtime fans. And at the time of this recording here, it's due on Tuesday, May 16th, 2006. So pick it up, won't you? Every one of you except that listener. Yes, you. For courtesy of our good friends of Shout Factory, I'm going to give one lucky DVD marquee listener a chance to pick up this set for absolutely nothing right now. I've got a trivia question for you. And originally, I was going to make this whole deal a real toughie with about five questions to make you really earn this whopper of a set. But what can I say? I'm a softie just like Dan's daddy, so I'm going to go easy on you guys here, okay? So here's the question. Listen carefully. What was the title of Marlo's classic award-winning mid-1970s special, or television special, I should say. And if you know your Marlo Thomas trivia, it's easy. Matter of fact, Marlo just published a follow-up book of sorts based on that special. Well, a little plug for you there, Marlo. If you know the answer or want to take a guess, just go to the comments section for this mini marquee episode on our website and enter to win. And we'll announce the winner on DVD marquee episode number 8, which we'll have up in about a week or so. But we'll put a post on our companion blog to let you guys know for sure, okay? Again, what was the title of Marlo Thomas's classic award-winning mid-1970s television special? We'll put all the correct answers in a hat, and the winner will receive a free copy of That Girl Season 1, courtesy of Shout Factory, still in its lovely shrink wrap. As usual, thanks and kudos to Home Theater Forum, I Crave DVD, Shane McDonald, and of course, you out there for listening. For the DVD Marquee, I'm Jeffrey Rosado. Muchas gracias for listening. Keep in touch, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye for now.
Is that girl? She's fine alone, but luckily for you, if you find a girl to love, only one girl to love, then she'll be that girl too. That girl!
And wherever you live, I hope you watch That Girl. In color. Or black and white. I just want you to watch.